Let me invite you to take your Bible, turn to 2 Kings chapter number 18. 2 Kings chapter number 18, and also, we will be for a little while at 2 Chronicles 32. You might want to put something in, hold that area there, as we look at some verses there. Last week we saw as Hezekiah came to power after the death of his wicked father Ahaz, and immediately Hezekiah became a catalyst for a spiritual revival. It was a wonderful thing for Judah. He didn't wait either. I mean, he got right on it. I mean, as soon as daddy was gone and that he was in power, he began to make sure that things got turned back around toward the Lord. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 5 here. As I said, this is what it says about Hezekiah. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. So, you know, the last part of verse 7 is what we're going to be taking a look at this evening. Hezekiah rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. And we see, first of all, tonight, what Assyria did to Israel in the 4th through 6th chapters of Hezekiah's reign. And that's mentioned here in 2 Kings 18, verses 9 through 12. It says, it came to pass in the 4th year of King Hezekiah, which was the 7th year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, they took it. And even in the 6th year of Hezekiah, that is the 9th year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel into Assyria and put them in Halah and in Habor by the river Gozan in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. So we have already taken a look at that. We dealt with this when we were with Israel's end in the previous chapter, before we dealt with Ahaz and Judah. Now, we know from what we've studied that Judah had also been increasingly wicked under the administration of Hezekiah's father, right? I mean, Israel got taken into captivity because of their wickedness. Judah, I mean, they're on the verge of being carried away. You know, in their mind, if God carried away Israel, quite frankly, could have happened to them too. Hezekiah and the people of Judah might have expected that the Lord was upset with them enough to suffer a similar fate. However, Hezekiah's revival in returning the nation of Judah to the Lord returned the nation to having the Lord's favor, as we're going to see shortly. Second thing I want to see, we see the oppression of Assyria against Judah. Understand that Assyria was the great world power in the 8th century B.C. They were a dynasty. They were a world empire. Back during that time, the known world, they were the world empire. And they were the thing going on. And we see there was the oppression against Ahaz of Judah, Hezekiah's dad. Ahaz sought the help of Assyria, if you remember, to fight against both Syria and Israel. And remember, Syria and Israel were both instruments of the Lord who helped mete out punishment against Ahaz. They were doing the Lord's work. They didn't know it, but they were doing the Lord's work. We saw how Tilgath-Pilneser, and that's Tilgath-Pilneser, actually the third, was the king of Assyria at the time, who took Ahaz's presents. You know, when by presents, that means they were giving him tribute. gold and silver. And it says he distressed him, but strengthened him not. So Ahaz didn't get what he really paid for. He paid for some relief, and what he got some further pressure from Assyria. Yes, Assyria took care of Israel for him and took care of Syria for him, but now he's got Assyria to worry with. And when he had that, we know that Shalmaneser then came to the throne of Assyria after his father Tilgath-Pileser died at close to the same time Ahaz died. I thought it quite interesting that both the Assyrian king and the king of Judah died at just about the same time, and Hezekiah came to power. Now, according to 2 Kings 18, verse number 9 there, Shalmaneser the fifth, as they don't call him the fifth, but it was the fifth Shalmaneser. Shalmaneser the fifth is the one who defeated the northern kingdom of Israel and carried them away into captivity. But his reign ended when Sargon the second killed him and took over the Assyrian Empire and began what is known as the Sargonid dynasty, which would be the last Assyrian dynasty. Now, on Sunday night, we talked about how Nineveh was going to come to an end and the Assyrian dynasty was going to be no more. Well, this was the beginning of the end. This dynasty was the beginning of the end. And with the things that we're going to be seeing that they were pressuring against Judah are the same things that we saw Sunday night that God was pointing out to them. You know, is because of your sins and because of what you've done against my people, that you're going to come to an end. And we know that the fall of Nineveh did take place eventually. We're not going to see that in our passage tonight, but it was coming. And that's the reason why I wanted to handle that on Sunday evening. So if you didn't have a chance to be with us Sunday evening, you ought to go to our sermon audio site and listen to Sunday night's message. But Sargon II reigned until about 705 BC, and then his son Sennacherib, okay, and that's who we're talking about tonight. Sennacherib, the Assyrian ruler that's mentioned in our text here, reigned after the death of his father, and Sennacherib ruled until he was murdered by two of his own sons, and a third son took his place. We're going to see that as we wrap up tonight, okay? But we see Assyria's first invasion of Judah during Hezekiah's reign found in verse number 13 through 16. Look at verse 13. It says, now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. It's talking about the surrounding area around Jerusalem. He didn't come against Jerusalem, wasn't able to take Jerusalem, but all these fenced areas around Jerusalem, the fenced cities of Judah, he's oppressing Judah by going in and taking those. Verse 14, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria, to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Now, if you remember, we said that Lachish was the second most important city in the land of Judah. You had Jerusalem, number one. Lachish was number two. And here, the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, is there in Lachish. And Hezekiah goes and says, I've offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest against me will I bear. And what he's trying to do here is buy himself some time. We're going to see that here in just a minute. He's not prepared for this invasion that's coming his way. And he knows he's going to have to get things fortified if he's going to go against Assyria. And it says here in the middle of verse 14, it says, and the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Now, it says verse 15, and Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. And at that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. Now, it appears that the reason for this first invasion was that Hezekiah had rebelled against Assyria by not paying the tribute like his father was paying tribute. Ahaz was paying tribute. And that he kept at bay the invasion of Assyria by paying the tribute. Well, Hezekiah comes to power and he says, well, that king's gone. Let's just cut this out. And he cut it out. And for a little while he was okay. Until here comes Assyria. So Sennacherib's army invaded Judah and easily took the fenced cities of Judah surrounding Jerusalem, but not the city of Jerusalem itself. Now, in order to stop Assyria from invading Jerusalem, Hezekiah sent word that he was going to pay whatever tribute the Assyrians asked, and he obviously didn't feel like he was prepared to fight at the time. We'll see his preparations here in just a little bit. But the Assyrians demanded 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. I didn't take time to figure out how much that would be in present-day dollars, but trust me, it's millions of dollars. I saw where one guy figured it up back in the 1980s. It was $28 million. Well, I don't know what the price of gold and the price of silver was back then. All I can tell you is there was a big chunk of change that he sent out, okay? A big chunk of change. Now, Hezekiah stripped the gold and silver from the temple and his own home and handed it over to the Assyrian king. And Hezekiah's actions actually gained him a 2-year reprieve. He was okay for 2 years, and during those 2 years he was busy. Okay? We see a serious second invasion of Judah during Hezekiah's reign next. And we're going to see Second Chronicles. We're going to look at it from this perspective over here, Second Chronicles 32, and we're going to deal with the first 8 verses here, and maybe a few more verses later on. But what we see here, a fellow by the name of Rabshakeh, and it was the captain of Sennacherib's army. He's the one doing a lot of speaking to Jerusalem and Hezekiah's representatives here. Notice verse 1. So after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the king of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers, and another wall without, and repaired Milo, the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people, and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with them. Now, you take a look at this from a human standpoint. That's easier said than done. Say, be not afraid. Second Chronicles 32. Yeah, Second Chronicles 32. And we're down there in verse number 7 right now. You look out there and you've seen what these fenced cities didn't have a chance, really. And this guy's coming at you and you're going to be expected to go against him. And Hezekiah was speaking the truth here. There was more with them than was with Assyria. If you've got God on your side, you got all you need. Look at verse number 8. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. It's a great thing, isn't it? And they just believed what Hezekiah said, because what Hezekiah said was true here. So Hezekiah here, we see he recognized that Assyria was not going to be appeased for long, and so he made these preparations. And we've seen there, you know, he stopped up the water without the city. He built up the walls, made weapons. He organized and encouraged his army. And then here comes, in verse number 9, here comes Sennacherib's representatives. Notice verse 9, after this did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, send his servants to Jerusalem. But he himself laid siege against Lachish and all his power with him unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, and unto all Judah that were at Jerusalem, saying, thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do ye trust that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? In other words, why aren't you waving the white flag of surrender yet? You know? Y'all just go ahead up and throw up the white flag of surrender, because, you know, your defeat is inevitable. That's what he's getting at here. The Assyrians made belittling speeches here against Hezekiah and blaspheming God. Let's take a look at verse number 10 and verse and following here. Thus says Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do you trust that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars, and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it? Basically, he's accusing Hezekiah of restricting worship. Hezekiah was restricting worship no more than what the Lord has said. The Lord said, hey, you worship me in Jerusalem. You come worship me at the temple. And he got rid of the high places. Verse number 13. He says, know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands any ways able to deliver their lands out of mine hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of mine hand? What he's saying here is, your God's no better than the rest of their gods were. Their gods didn't help them. Your God's not going to help you. The only problem is, those gods were no gods. But Judah's God was the one true God. Verse 15. Now therefore let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner. Neither yet believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of my hand and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of my hand? And his servant spake yet more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. So he just kept on going. Verse 17. He wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of my hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of mine hand. Then they cried with a loud voice into the Jews' speech. In other words, he begins talking to them in Hebrew, to the people on the wall of Jerusalem that were on the wall, to affright them and to trouble them, that they might not take the city. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of men. And so we see, you know, Hezekiah, what he did in response to this. We flip back to our over 2 Kings, and we see what he did in 2 Kings chapter number 19. Look at 2 Kings chapter number 19 and verse number 1. We see that Hezekiah sent his servants to Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, asking him to pray to the Lord for their deliverance from the Assyrians. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, that this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, with whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. So Hezekiah recognized here that their only hope was the Lord God. Now listen, when your only hope is the Lord, that is your best hope. When the Lord is your only hope, that's the best hope you can have. Isaiah sent a word that the Lord had spoken, and he was going to be the one to defeat the Assyrians. Look at verse 6 and 7. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. He shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So we see that, and then continue on down to verse number 8, and we see Rabshakeh returned to Lachish and found that his king had left there to fight against Libna, and then there was another war front that was coming from Ethiopia. Look at verse 8. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish, and when he heard a say of Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee. He sent messengers again unto Hezekiah. So he's got two fronts you're fighting on here, and he sends another message to Hezekiah. He doesn't want Hezekiah to give up. Verse number 10. It says, thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed? And he mentions several kings there, lands that they had defeated. Skip down to verse number 14. It says, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And notice, Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. So, you know, Rabshakeh sends these messengers to Hezekiah with this threatening letter to threatening immediate action. In other words, you know, you need to surrender or we're coming. And so we see Hezekiah took this to the Lord in prayer. He went to the temple, spread the letter out before the Lord. We see that he acknowledged the supremacy of the Lord God, being as there is really only one true God. Look at verse number 15. Here, as he spreads it out before the Lord, he said, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. In other words, you're the creator God. You're the only God. You're God alone. You're the one that made heaven and earth. Then he asked the Lord to listen to the blasphemous words of Sennacherib. Look at verse 16. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Now, he acknowledged the truth of what the Assyrians had previously done to other nations, and their gods, which weren't really gods at all. Notice verse 17 and 18. He says, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations in their lands. and hath cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. And he's acknowledging the reason they were defeated, and the reason their gods were didn't help them out is they really didn't have a god. Look at verse number 19. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. So he asked the Lord to intervene and save them out of Sennacherib's hand for his own glory, for God's glory, and as a testimony of God to other nations that he is Lord alone. He's God alone. Amen. That's a good reason. Hezekiah didn't say, come do this for us. Lord, you need to take care of doing this for you. And God's name was on the line here. Now, next we see the Lord then answered Hezekiah's prayer by the prophet Isaiah with a message against Sennacherib and Assyria. Look at verse number 20. It says here, then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. And notice this. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. Now this is the message to the Assyrians. And God's saying what Judah is doing to them. Yeah, if you're getting ready to fight somebody, the worst thing that they could do is take and shake their head at you and say, man, you ain't nothing. You ain't nobody. You got all these bodies laying around you that have been beat by them, and you know, you ain't nothing. You ain't nothing at all. But that's basically what the Lord said. The Lord said, Jerusalem despised, laughed at, and shake her head at the Assyrians. Look at verse number 22. The Lord here reminds Assyria whom they had reproached and blasphemed and exalted their voice against and lifted up their eyes on high against. Look at verse 22. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel. Look at verse 23. Here the Lord reminds Assyria of their words of reproach against him and his people. He says, by thy messengers thou hast reproached the Lord, and hast said, with the multitude of my chariots, I am come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of the Lebanon. I will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof. And I will enter into the lodgings of his borders, and into the forest of his Carmel. In other words, this is a very prideful thing that's being mentioned there. Look at verse 24. I have digged and drunk strange waters, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of besieged places. And so, he's basically Assyria exalting themselves. And we see the Lord next reminds Assyria of his person and his sovereignty, and that how he's the one who gave them their previous victories. I like this. Look at verse 25 and 26. The Lord says, hast thou not heard? This is to Assyria now. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it? Lord saying that. And of ancient times that I have formed it? Now, have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste fenced cities and ruinous heaps? You know, I let you do that. See, I let you lay waste to fenced cities. Look at verse 26. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb, and as the grass on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But notice verse 27 here. The Lord lets him know. He knows where they're at. He knows what the plans are. He knows their rage against him. He says, but I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming in. What does that remind you of? To me, it reminds me of Psalm 139. I know it's thou, you know, Lord, you know my down sitting, you know my uprising, you knew everything about me. Amen. And the Lord did know all of that about him. And he knew their rage. He says, and thy rage against me. Lord, do all of that. And verse 28 here, the Lord tells them that because of that rage against him, he was going to have them heading back where they came from. I like the way he puts it too. Look at verse 28. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into my ears, therefore, notice this, I'll put a hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. And then we see here the Lord gave Hezekiah and Judah a sign in verse 29 through 31. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and in the second year that which springeth up the same, and at the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruits thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root up downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of the Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. The Lord has determined He's going to do that. He's going to allow them to rise. Looks like they're dead in the water, doesn't it? I mean, it looks like they are history. Looks like they are fixing to be blasted. And the Lord said, hey, I'm going to raise you back up here, and I'm going to do this. Now, we see the Lord's message of certainty and comfort to Hezekiah and Jerusalem in verse 32 through 34. Notice verse 32, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with a shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord, for I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. So the Lord is their defense here. And last of all we see here, we see the Lord's fulfilled His word that same night in verses 35 through 37. Notice verse 35, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, and when they arose up early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. God destroyed in one night 185,000 Assyrians. You wake up to 185,000 of your soldiers gone, makes you rethink what you're about to fix them to do, right? Sennacherib and his armies returned to Nineveh in verse 36. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelled at Nineveh. Then we see in verse number 37, it says, and it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. So he was slain by two of his boys while he was worshiping his god, his false god, and his throne was assumed by a third son. So that's Hezekiah versus Assyria, or we should really say God versus Assyria. Amen. I mean, Hezekiah, all he did was pray. All he did was seek the prophet of the Lord out. All he did was go out before the Lord and lay, Lord, this is what they're saying. This is what they said they're going to do, Lord. And your name's at stake here. Your people are at stake here. And just turned it over to the Lord, and the Lord took care of it. Now, next week, we're going to see Hezekiah comes down with a sickness. And he has a prayer. And the Lord grants him an additional amount of time on the earth. Imagine that. We'll see what that's all about, Lord willing, next time. Okay? All right. Well, I know it went a little bit over, but it was necessary to do that tonight. Okay? All right. Let's pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed.